pray.
Lord, I ask that you speak to us today as we look at some of the ways in which we can, well, be full of ourselves. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I've been doing this series on the dragons of the mind, and these dragons of the mind, we all have them, and they come in varying shapes and sizes. But there are things like fear and worry and unforgiveness and guilt and anger and doubt and resentment, bitterness, shame, bondage to things in our past, inner turmoil, just to mention some of them. I'm not going to go any farther than eight. Dragons of the minds are things that haunt us in our minds. They loom over us like fire-breathing beasts. Our lives, our future, our ability to live fully in a present is often blocked by these dragons of the mind, and we get paralyzed by these dragons. They guard the roads in our minds that lead to our fulfillment, health, peace of mind. But actually, today I want to deal with a dragon that isn't scary. Today I want to deal with a dragon, Puff, the magic dragon of pride. Now, I've got a sheet in here, and I would like for us to interactively join in singing Puff the Magic Dragons with the Irish Rovers. It was written back in the 70s, so let's do it. And stand up and let's sing it together.
Dragon lived by the sea and frolicked in the autumn mist in a land called Honolulu.
Little Jackie Paper, well, he loved that rascal Puff, and he brought him strings and sealing wax and some other fancy stuff. Oh,
Puff the Magic Dragon lived by the sea and frolicked in the autumn mist in a land called Honolulu. Puff the Magic Dragon lived by the sea and frolicked in the autumn mist in a land called Honolulu.
Together they would travel in a boat with billows sail, and Jackie, he kept a lookout perched on Puff's gigantic tail, and noble kings and princes would bow whene'er they came, and pirate ships would lower their flag when Puff roared out his name. Oh,
Puff the Magic Dragon lived by the sea and frolicked in the autumn mist in a land called Honolulu. Puff the Magic Dragon lived by the sea and frolicked in the autumn mist in a land called Honolulu.
Dragon lives forever, but not so little boys. Painted wings and giant things just make way for some other toys. One grey night it happened, Jackie Paper came no more, and old Puff, the mighty dragon, he ceased his fearless roar. His head was bent with sorrow, green scales fell like rain. Puff no longer went to play along the cherry lane. Without his lifelong friend, Puff could not be brave. So Puff, the mighty dragon, sadly slipped into his cave. Oh,
Puff, the magic dragon, lived by the sea and frolicked in the autumn mist in a land called Honolulu. Puff, the magic dragon, lived by the sea and frolicked in the autumn mist in a land called Honolulu.
I got a red one here. Please be seated. Someone gave me this one time. It's Puff, the magic dragon. Now, by the way, for the trivia night? Hannah Lee is where Pop was. The cover for your bulletin is an old Far Side that I remember one time, which shows Pop being killed by an oil slick. I always thought it was kind of funny myself. Today I want to deal with the dragon of pride, by the way. Notice in this song that the little boy's name is Jackie Paper. Paper is flimsy, it has no strength, and it's easily torn or mutilated. Paper's not very solid stuff. It's good for some things, but you wouldn't want to build your life on paper, but some of us do anyway. We build it on this paper money, stocks and bonds, and related paper. Well, little Jackie had a magical dragon friend who allowed himself to be puffed up in importance. He imagines how important he is as kings and princes bow before him. Pirates would lower their flags as he sits on the dragon, the golden magical dragon, Puff. Jackie sits there all puffed up, reveling in how he is the center of the universe. In the song, dragons live forever, but little boys don't, and Puff loses his power when little Jackie quits coming around, and Puff slinks into his cave, for he has lost his power in the little boy's life. Now, it's just a song, but pride is a magical dragon that is gold in color. It has diamonds and rubies and other precious gems that's stuck to its belly, and we bring it strings and sealing wax and other fancy stuff. And the truth is, some of us little boys and girls never grow up and never get rid of this magical dragon. And the thing that's different about this dragon of the mind is that it's mostly friendly to us. It makes us feel important, just like little Jackie Paper. Of course, in the nice song where kings and princes bow, it doesn't tell you what would happen if they didn't bow. This dragon, though friendly to us, is often a terrifying monster to other people who don't show the proper respect for the one who sits upon this dragon's tail. The dragon of pride is a dragon that causes our chest to swell, makes us want to strut because we're better than other people. It's a dragon of comparison. There's an old commercial that used to compare dogs. My dog's bigger than your dog. And this is where we can say, my dragon's bigger than your dragon. My dragon's prettier than yours. My dragon's richer than yours. My dragon's more important than yours. And we get all puffed up as we sit upon this dragon's gigantic tail. The dragon of pride is the dragon who whispers comparisons in our ears. We compare ourselves with other people, and especially their weaknesses. We put other people down, like the song says. We make them bow before us and lower their flags. And sometimes, if this dragon really gets a hold on us, we go looking for people to make fun of and put down. This dragon comes as a friend to live in our castle, and it's very difficult to cast it out because it is such a friend to us. This dragon is pretty. It's covered with prestige and wealth, and it's gold in nature, and it beguiles a good many of us. This dragon is the opposite of the dragon of inferiority that I talked about a few weeks ago. It produces a feeling of superiority as it struts around in the kingdom of our lives. It causes rich people to look with disdain upon poor people and treat people with less wealth as second-class people. This dragon causes smart people to look with disrespect upon people who aren't as educated and quick with their minds. This dragon causes old people to treat young people with condescending thought and causes young people to disrespect their elders. This dragon causes racial prejudice. And for many Christian people, it causes them to be self-righteous towards those who are less spiritual. This dragon causes different churches and denominations to look down on other Christian churches and denominations. This dragon kind of whispers its form of the truth. You worship in your way while we worship God in His way. And the dragon of pride perches on the towers of our castles, and it preens and it roars. Its praises, and it's covered with gold and gems and precious stones. C.S. Lewis once said, a proud man is always looking down on things and people. And of course, as long as you're looking down, you can't see something that's above you. Jesus told a story about such people who lived in the shadow of this dragon. I want us to read together Luke chapter 18, verses 9 to 14. And it's on the other side from Puff's lyrics. Here we go. He also told this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I get. But the tax collector, standing far off, would not even lift up his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but he who humbles himself will be exalted. Jesus tells this story to people who sit on Puff's gigantic tail and are confident in their own righteousness and look down on other people. The religious guy in this thing, the elder of the church, sort of prays and thanks God that he isn't as like a lowlife like some of the other people around him who are obvious sinners, like that tax collector who was just a guy who knew he wasn't righteous without God's help. And he trusts himself to God. Jesus ends by saying that the repentant man went home justified, while the self-righteous elder of the church, under the spell of this dragon of pride, causes him to compare himself to an ordinary man so that he would look good. But he also, you notice that this church elder does not compare himself with Moses or Abraham or any of the prophets. His dragon of pride might have been pierced to the heart if he had compared himself to some of the giants of the faith. The dragon of pride. It picks on people's weaknesses, because pride is a sin of comparison in which I compare my strengths, my stuff, my talents, and the grace of God in my life with another person's weaknesses. Lack of talents, their lack of stuff, what appears to be God's lack of favor in terms of their lives. A lot of us suffer from our own foolish pride. We strut our stuff and we don't recognize the grace of God in our lives. Did you or I think about this. Did you or I have any part in picking this country to be born in? As opposed to some place in Africa or Southeast Asia or any place. Did you have any choice in that? You didn't have anything to do with it. That was all God. How about the blessings of your life? Maybe the blessings of your job, your profession, the grace of health, your stuff, which bedecks some of our dragons of pride, that fancy car instead of a broken down 68 Chevelle. Some will tell me, well, I earned it. Well, if you exercise the God-given talents that you have, fine. But the fact remains, how come you are where you are instead of being born in some slum? How come? Instead of a matter of the dragon of pride, maybe we should thank God. Instead of putting ourselves on the back, patting ourselves on the back for what we are. Now, somewhere along the way, many of us listened to this golden, magical dragon, puff, and we become satisfied. We become comfortable, and our hearts grow proud, not in arrogance, but it happens in subtle little ways. The dragon kind of whispers to us about how good we really are and how capable, how beautiful, how blessed people are to have us around. And we begin to look down on others and patting ourselves on the back for our superiority. And the dragon smirks. For he knows that our relationship with Jesus Christ is slipping away. As we become satisfied, as we begin to forget our Father's face or Jesus' presence in our lives. And that's how it goes. I have a passage in Deuteronomy that I would like for us to read together in chapter 8. Here we go. Take heed, lest you forget your Lord your God, when you have eaten and are full and have built goodly houses and live in them, and when your herds and flocks multiply, and our silver and gold is multiplied, and all that you have is multiplied. Then your heart will be lifted up, and you forget the Lord your God. Beware lest you say in your heart, my power and might of my hand have gotten me this wealth. You shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth. And if you forget the Lord your God, I solemnly warn you this day that you shall surely perish. That was Moses talking to the people of Israel after they'd come out of Egypt. The dragon of pride is so full of itself that it causes us to forget our Creator. The dragon of pride causes us to look with disdain upon God. You know, this country is no longer very thankful to God. In fact, we deny God as a country on a daily basis. And if there's any truth to this kind of scripture, this country is going the way of all flesh. We have forgotten to give thanks to our Creator. We have forgotten our Father's face. And we have forgotten our Redeemer, who is Jesus. And the death of our country will be the fruit of our own pride. You know, we pride ourselves that we can do all things, that we can fix our world, our country. Well, that's an old story with the same ending in all past countries. Countries which lose their faith in God and lose their moral base and lose their freedom, and they rot from within. And it is true of us as well. In 2 Chronicles is the story of King Uzziah, and I talked about this last week. He ruled for 52 years. He started good, but then Puff, that magical dragon of pride, came to live with him, and he ended up being a leper. I have a few verses concerning Uzziah printed, and let's read them out of 2 Chronicles here. Uzziah was 16 years old when he began to reign. And he reigned 52 years in Jerusalem. And he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord. He set himself to seek God in the days of Zechariah, who instructed him in the fear of God. And as long as he sought the Lord, God made him prosper. And his fame spread far, for he was marvelously helped till he was strong. But when he was strong, he grew proud to his destruction. For he was false to the Lord his God. You know, if you got to hear the truth in that scripture, as long as Uzziah sought the Lord and did what was right, God made him prosper. But in verses 15 and 16, his fame grew, and he was marvelously helped, it says, until he was strong. But when he got strong, he got proud to his own destruction, for he was false to the Lord his God. And he ended up being a leper and an outcast. Why? Because the dragon of pride ruled in his life, and he became proud of what the Lord had worked in his life, and he took it as his. You know, churches can do the same thing. We can let a dragon of pride compare us to other churches. We can grow stale in our faith, both individually and collectively as a church. We become worldly in our ways. And then, as the book of James would say, God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. And the truth is, churches are made up of people, you and me. And if churches grow proud, you know who's really growing proud is the people. The dragon of the mind, known as pride, is the fountainhead of sin, and it's the pathway to a hard heart. Puff, the magic dragon, can lead us into discord, haughtiness, conceit, boasting. It can even bring us to rage or anger because, well, I'm not getting my way. Arrogance, self-righteousness, sanctimonious, judgmental attitudes. This dragon, though it's pretty, makes us feel good, will blind us to wisdom and blind us to the lordship of Jesus Christ in our lives. This dragon of the mind will bring desolation on your castle and your kingdom. The dragon of pride will bring you down and bring about your destruction. Disgrace is the fruit of a haughty spirit. The dragon of pride will cloak itself with shadows and cause us to become blind and even to its presence in our lives. This dragon is subtle. It's pleasing to look at, but it will wreak havoc in our lives and can cause us to be damned, literally, eternally. How do you rid yourself of this dragon? Well, it is usually a royal battle, for this dragon is strong in you and me. If you notice in the scripture that we read about Uzziah, King Uzziah was under spiritual guidance of Zechariah. And Zechariah was a prophet. He was the spiritual director for the country and the king at that time. And we have a book of the Bible by the same name of Zechariah. And from that, let's look at an answer to the dragon of pride. Let's read Zechariah 4:6 together. Here we go. Then he said to me, "This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts." When it comes to your life, your power is not in intellectual attainment with a bunch of letters beside your name. Your power is not in your noble birth or in a fine family with lots of money. Your power is not your skill or profession. Your power is not political strength. Your power as a child of God, a believer of Jesus, who is the Christ, comes to you in God's Spirit. Your strength in this life rests in your relationship with God in Jesus. Your power in this world rests in your submission to the Lord Jesus as ruler of your kingdom. Your might rests in the power of the Holy Spirit working in and through you, but we don't believe it. And a lot of times we don't seem to live it either. Now listen to me. If you don't go to church and worship and submit yourself to the Lord Jesus, you will never experience the glory of a life lived in God. You may receive the grace of God in salvation, but to live in the dimensions of the Spirit requires a submitted heart in worship and in obedience. And worship is foreign to this dragon. So if you're unwilling to submit yourself and bow before the Lord God, you are living in the dominion of the dragon of pride. You see, the world does not value what the church puts its faith in. Have you figured that out there? Out there? The world does not value what the church puts its faith in. If you let Jesus battle this dragon, there will be a war in you until you forsake it. God always strikes at our pride, and our pride rests in our minds. We become very refined in our worship styles, don't we? We get comfortable. We become very polished sometimes in the way that we worship and we present ourselves in terms of being God's people. But I want to test it this morning a little bit. I think we need to humble ourselves, and let's do something that will humble each of us. Now, if I injure anybody's pride here today by doing this, or I get to step in on your comfortable seating arrangements, well, then I will have aroused the dragon in you. And to tell you the truth, I'm not here to injure your pride. I'm here to kill it, if I can. You know, I want us to kneel before the Lord. I want us to bow ourselves, submit ourselves to the Lord. The truth is, we are all guilty of pride and should ask God to make us humble so that we will not suffer pride's consequences, which are disgrace and destruction and downfall in opposition to God's plan for our lives. And a lot of times it's unpleasant when you have to deal with this, because a lot of times it takes radical surgery to deal with this dragon. Read with me Romans 14, 10, 11. Here we go. Why do you pass judgment on your brother? Or you, why do you despise your brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of God. For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, every tongue shall give praise to God. Read with me Philippians 2, 9, 11. Therefore, God has highly exalted him, and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. I want us to humble ourselves before the Lord, and I want us to kneel. Let's bend our knee and submit our lives to the Lord. Now I'm going to lead you in this. What we're going to do is we're going to be quiet for a moment, and then I will focus our prayers. Lord Jesus, we bow and we kneel before you today. We submit ourselves. We humble ourselves to your lordship. Help us in our daily living to not pride ourselves in our righteousness. Help us each day in our lives to live as your people, to be servants of those that we touch with our lives, to not look down on others, but to raise them up. Help us to be light in this dark world to those that we touch. And through this simple act, physical act of just kneeling, help us to understand the true humility that you are not only Lord who creates and sets us upon this earth where we are, you are the Lord who walks with us, and like Uzziah, that you help us, causes us to prosper as your people. Help us not to let pride be our destruction. You are the Lord. We are your people. We come to you this day, submitting ourselves to your lordship. In his name, amen. Just a side note. The hardest part for me is not kneeling. It's getting up. Let's close our worship.